You're listening to the Qalam Podcast, the 40 hadith of Imam An-Nawawi as explained by Mufti Hussein Kamani. This seminal and foundational collection of hadith has been described by many Islamic scholars as a prerequisite to serious Islamic learning. To further your study of hadith and many other Islamic subjects, please check out the exclusive courses available at qalamnow.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن شاء الله today we are starting from hadith 21 عن أبي عمر وقيل أبي عمر سفيان بن عبد الله رضي الله عنه قال قلت يا رسول الله قل لي في الإسلام قولا لا أسأل عنه أحدا غيرك قال قل آمنت بالله ثم استقم رواه مسلم. The hadith is narrated by Abu Amr, who was also known as Abu Amra. Sufyan bin Abdullah al-Thaqafi radiyallahu anhu said, that I said, O Messenger of Allah, tell me something about Islam which I can ask of you and no one but you. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ, say I believe in Allah, ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ, and then remain steadfast. The hadith is narrated by Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi. So the narrator of this hadith is a companion by the name of Sufyan ibn Abdullah radiyallahu ta'ala an. As Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi very clearly states himself, that at some point he is known as Abu Amra by the scholars of hadith, and some scholars of hadith know him as Abu Amr. His lineage, as mentioned by the historians, Abu Nu'aym al-Isfahani, rahimahullah ta'ala, mentions in his Ma'rifat al-Sahaba, that he is Sufyan ibn Abdullah bin Abi Rabi'a bin Harith al-Thaqafi al-Ta'ifi. Al-Thaqafi, the tribe of Banu al-Thaqif, was a tribe that was known amongst the Arabs, and they resided in Ta'if. And this Sahabi as well was also from Ta'if. He was with the delegation that came to meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he accepted Islam at that point as well. After he accepted Islam, he had to go back home, but before he went back home, he wanted to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a question. And he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Messenger of Allah, I have to ask you a question, that after I ask you this question, I will have no longer any need to ask anyone else another question. Note, he's a new Muslim, just accepted Islam from the big city of Ta'if, from a great tribe. He is a Thaqafi. And he says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, give me advice on something that I can do and I won't have to ask anyone after you. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said to him, قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِيمُ, say I believe in Allah and then remain firm. He resided in Medina Munawwara for a bit as well. And then during the Khilafah of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu appointed him as responsible of collecting the zakat from the people of Ta'if. The wealth in Ta'if was great, so Umar radiallahu anhu very carefully selected Sufyan ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu. This was done after Uthman bin Abi al-As was removed from that position, and Uthman bin Abi al-As was then relocated in Bahrain, and in his place, Sufyan ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu was appointed. How many narrations do we have from this particular companion? According to some scholars, he only narrates one hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is reported to us authentically, and that is this hadith. Mullah Ali al-Qari rahimahullah ta'ala says, مَرْوِيَاتُهُ خَمْسَ, there are five ahadith narrated from this companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Al-Khazraji says that there is only one hadith narrated from him by Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi, and that is the hadith that we are studying right now. Abu al-Qasim says something very similar. He says that other than this hadith, I am not aware of any other authentic narration from this companion, Sufyan ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu. Amongst his students, what's very interesting, amongst his students are first and foremost his own sons. So you have Asim bin Sufyan bin Abdullah al-Thaqafi, Abdullah bin Sufyan bin Abdullah al-Thaqafi. You have Alqama bin Sufyan bin Abdullah al-Thaqafi. You have his other son, Amr bin Sufyan bin Abdullah al-Thaqafi. So it's as if all of his sons were his immediate students. Then other than them, you obviously have some of the great known narrators as well, like Urwa bin Zubayr radiallahu, Urwa bin Zubayr rahimahullah, and others. This particular hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is also narrated by Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullahi alayhi. The narration that Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullahi alayhi brings, along with the text that we just read above, there is a little addition towards the end. And the narration that Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullahi alayhi brings, he says that, قُلْتُ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ I said, O Messenger of Allah, حَدِّثْنِي بِأَمْرٍ أَعْتَصِمُ بِهِ Inform me or educate me of a matter that I can be firm on, meaning something I can hold on firmly to that I will stick to. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Say, Rabbi Allah, my Lord is Allah. ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ And then remain firm on that. قُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مَا أَخْوَفُ مَا تَخَافُ عَلَيَّ O Messenger of Allah, what is that one thing that you fear upon me the most? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَأَخَذَ بِلِسَانِ نَفْسِهِ He held on to his own tongue and he said, قَالَ هَذَا This is what I fear most for you. And in one narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeatedly said that I fear this upon you, I fear this upon you. In one narration, Imam Baghawi rahmatullahi alayhi narrates in his Mu'jam al-Sahaba, he said, قُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ فَمَا أَتَّقِي O Messenger of Allah, what should I stay away from? What can I prevent myself from? فَأَوْمَأَ إِلَىٰ لِسَانِهِ The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pointed towards his tongue. His tongue could be either the Prophet's tongue or his own tongue. One of the two the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made gesture to. This hadith is a very important hadith when it's studied in the grand collection of a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qadi Iyad al-Maliki rahimahullahu ta'ala says regarding this hadith, هَذَا مِنْ جَوَامِعِ كَلِمِهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This narration is from the miraculous statements of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that were concise and precise. Concise in meaning, precise in words. Very few words, jam-packed with meaning. How so? He says, You will learn إِذِ الْإِسْلَامُ تَوْحِيدٌ وَطَاعَةٌ That Islam has two very important components. Tawheed, believe in the oneness of Allah, monotheism, wata'ah, obedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, قُلْ say آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ that I believe in Allah. That's tawheed. آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ That covers the part, the element of tawheed. That's one half of your faith. The other half of your faith is ta'atun, and that's where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ That be firm in what you believe in. So if you understand it from that perspective, what you learn is that this hadith is very jami' and very mani', meaning it's full of meaning in very few words. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said that when the ayah of the Qur'an was revealed, فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ That be firm just as you have been commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This ayah was so difficult upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was so heavy on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in its meaning. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being told to be steadfast. And the reason why it was hard on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wasn't because he struggled in being steadfast. It's because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was worried about his ummah having the ability to remain steadfast. And this concerned and worried the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so much that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says that there was not an ayah of the Quran ashaddu wala ashaqqu alayhi min hadhihi al-ayah walidhalika qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ya ashabihi hina qalu qad asra'a ilayka ash-shayb faqala shayyabatni hud wa akhwatuha that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day he was approached by the companions and they said O Messenger of Allah We see signs of aging on you so quickly. What do they mean so quickly? It's very common for people to age by 60, 63. What they mean by that is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even at 60, 63, had so much energy. And they weren't expecting to see that on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam maybe for another 100 years. So they said, O Messenger of Allah, what is it that's tired you? What's this aging for? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, شَيَّبَتْنِ هُود That Surah Hud, and in particular this ayah, فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ This ayah has brought this concern, this worry upon me, which you see in the result of white strands of hair appearing on the Prophet ﷺ. Abu al-Qasim al-Qushayri writes in his Risala, الاستقام درجة بها كمال الأمور وتمامها وبوجودها حصول الخيرات ونظامها. He says that istiqama, once a person accomplishes it, that's when their good deeds are complete. Every good deed that you bring into your life is incomplete until you can show firmness on that good deed. You can stick it through till the end. It's very easy to do something today and then not follow it up with it tomorrow. How many people do we see on January 1st open up gym memberships? Everyone's quick at making good intents, and good intentions are a good thing. You should make them. But following through with your intentions, translating your mission statement into actual business is where the trick actually is. It's very easy to sit together with three buddies and start up a business and say, what's our vision, what's our goal, what's our mission statement? But then translating that vision, that goal, and mission statement into reality is where the actual struggle is. Most businesses are not capable of doing that. Most human beings are not able of doing that. We talk about ideas, we think about them, we discuss them, but when it comes to implementation, that's where we fail miserably. So Abu al-Qasim al-Qushayri says, this is the completion of your deen. وَبِوَجُودِهَا حُصُولُ الْخَيْرَاتِ. And it is through steadfastness that a person can truly accomplish good in their life. The Prophet ﷺ started off by advising this companion, قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ, say, I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does it mean to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? There's obviously a legal definition. There's a legal definition of believing in Allah. What is that? تَصْدِيق بِالْجِنَانِ إِقْرَار بِاللِّسَانِ عَمَلْ بِالْأَرْكَانِ. To believe with the heart, to attest with the tongue, and to follow up with good deeds. That's more of a very legal definition of iman, believing in Allah. But there's much more to it than just that. There's a famous collection of hadith called Mishkat al-Masabih. And one of the most prominent commentators of this collection is a scholar by the name of Allama Tibi, rahimahullahu ta'ala. Allama Tibi, rahimahullah. He has a very lengthy discussion on this hadith. And honestly, I would like to cover it with you, but this is going to be one of those moments, maybe the first time in this class that I'm going to tell you that discussion is too long to have in a 1 hour class. It's more of a 1 week class. Even when I taught this hadith to my own students, I skipped this discussion. The reason is because it would take too long. But what I'll do for you is I will hint towards some of the very important points he makes underneath this hadith. He says, وَفُنُونُ اِعْتِقَادِ الْحَقِّ, and the pillars of true belief lie upon 16 branches. The pillars of firm, true, solid belief lies upon 16 branches. And I won't list all 16 of them. I will just tell you one or two of them. He starts off by saying, طَلَبُ الْعِلْمِ, seeking knowledge. مَعْرِفَةُ الصَّانِعِ, knowing who your Lord is. Believing in the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Believing in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Believing in qadr is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he continues on, وَإِقْرَارُ بِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, أَعْنِي بِمَا فِيهِ مِنَ الصِّرَاطِ وَالْحِسَابِ وَمَوَازَنَةُ الْأَعْمَالِ وَسَائِرَ مَا تَوَاتَرَ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ وَالْوُثُوقَ عَلَى وَعَدِ الْجَنَّةِ وَثَوَابِ. And he continues on 16 things that are very important to believe in. Anyone who wishes can check the reference there. مَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُرَاجِعْ إِلَى الْكِتَابِ. You can go and check the book, then you'll find all 16 of them listed. Then he says, that's when it comes to belief. آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ. ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ has little to do with belief and more to do with action. So then he says, وَفَنُّ الْعَمَلِ يَنْقَسِمُ إِلَى ثَلَاثَةِ أَقْسَامِ. Then when it comes to perfecting your deeds, you must accomplish three very important things. The first thing he says is that which relates to the individual. مَا يَتَعَلَّقْ بِالْمَرْءِ, that which relates to the individual in question, yourself. The second, وَثَانِيهِمَا مَا يَتَعَلَّقْ بِهِ وَبِخَوَاصِهِ. The second is what relates to you and your immediate circle of people, your family members, your friends, you know, those who you meet with every day. And the third, he says, مَا يَعُمُّ النَّاسِ, that which relates to the people at large. So in order for you to be steadfast, you need to do certain things yourself, you need to do certain things with your family members, you need to set a temperament amongst them, and you also need to make sure that the people that are around you at large also meet certain criteria. And then for each of these, he then goes into, for example, when it comes to the things that people at large need to adopt. He says, وَشُعُبُهَا سَبَعَةُ عَشَرَةً. There are 17 things that the society needs to adopt in order to establish a society that will be firm and steadfast. And he says, as for that which relates to the family members and those that are close to you, وَشُعُبُهَا ثَمَانٍ. Those are 8 things that they need to adopt. And then he comes to the individual. He says, as for the individual, you need to adopt multiple things, but you have to understand, before we go into the smaller things, there are 2 elements that you need to perfect yourself in. وَهُوَ يَنْقَسِمُ إِلَىٰ قِسْمَيْنِ أَحَدُهُمَا مَا يَتَعَلَّقْ بِالْبَاطِنِ. The first is that which relates to your internal affairs. You need to fix some of your internal issues. From the internal issues, he says, now within the internal issues, this further breaks into 2 categories. This is a little confusing, I know. But I'm going to back up a little and break it down for you one more time so you understand. Try to draw a spider chart. Kind of build a spider chart in your mind. If you wish to follow this hadith, you need to break the hadith into 2 parts. The first part of the hadith talks about belief, okay? The first part of the hadith talks about belief. He says for that, you need to master how many things? 16 things. Then it comes to practice. When we talk about practice, this will now break into 3 categories. That which relates to the community, that which relates to your immediate circle, and that which relates to your self. If you go back to that which relates to the community, how many things need to be mastered there? 17 things. If you go to that which relates to your immediate circle, how many things do you need to master there? 8 things. Amongst the 8 things, he says, التعفف عن الزنا والنكاح والقيام بحقوقه والبر الوالدين وصلة الرحم طاعة الصاعة سادات sorry والإحسان إلى الممالك والعتق. So these are 8 things that you need to bring into your immediate circle. And then when it comes to the last part of this equation, things that you need to fix in yourself, he then says, now this will be broken down into 2 categories. The internal and external. When it comes to the self, it will break down into 2 categories. That which relates to the batin, that which relates to the zahir. That which relates to the zahir then has a list of things that need to be done there. And that which relates to the zahir, the external, he says there are 13 things that need to be done there. 13 things. And that which relates to the batin internally, now will further break into 2 categories. That which relates to the individual will be 2 categories, the zahir and the batin. The batin will further break into how many categories? 2. The first is what he calls tanqih, removal. And the second is what he calls tahliya, beautifying yourself. There are certain things you must remove from your life. There are certain things spiritually you must add into your life. So when we're talking about spiritually, there are certain things you need to get rid of. And then when we're talking about spiritually, internally, there are certain things you must add. Which things must you get rid of? He says, وَأُمُّهَاتُهَا عَشَرَةً. There are 10 things you must get rid of. You guys understand why I was telling you that I can't cover this in one class. This is literally a 1 week or maybe 1 month discussion. I'm not exaggerating. He says, وَأُمُّهَاتُهَا عَشَرَةً. There are 10 things you must get rid of in yourself. Eating a lot, drinking a lot, stinginess, pride, love for wealth, love for name, love for worldly pleasures, hasad, jealousy, riya, ostentation. And then he continues on with a list of things that need to be removed. He says, as for the things that need to be brought into yourself, وَتَحْلِيَةُ النَّفْسِ بِالْكَمَالَاتِ. There are 13 things that you need to bring into yourself. التوبة والخوف والرجاء والزهد والحياء والشكر والوفاء والصبر والإخلاص والصدق والمحبة والتوكل والرضا بالقضاء. This is a very lengthy discussion that Allama Tibi rahmatullahi alayhi brings in his commentary in Mishkat. And as I said earlier, من شاء فليراجع, whoever wishes to learn more about this, it's very intricate, very detailed. If you pay attention to the point that he brings, this hadith right here, honestly, it's a summary of tazkiyah. It's a whole roadmap to tazkiyah. If someone's learning how to spiritually purify themselves, how can I become a better person? How can I spiritually elevate? It's as if in this one commentary of this hadith, what has he done? The whole roadmap, he pans it out saying, this is what you need to do, and this is how you need to do it. What is istiqama? This hadith says, believe in Allah and then remain firm, remain steadfast. قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ. The word istiqama is derived from the three letters qaf, waw, mim. Qa, wa, ma. Qaf, waw, and mim. This can come in two meanings. أحدهما جماعة من الناس. The first meaning could be a group of people, like we say, قوم. كذبت قوم نوح المرسلين. The people of Nuh عليه السلام rejected him. Okay. The second meaning could be والآخر الانتصاب والعزم. الانتصاب means to erect. والعزم means to be determined. So istiqama can mean to go in the straight path, allowing no deviation. That's what it actually means. To remain firm, to be upright. That's why it also comes in the meaning of i'tidal, to be balanced. Istiqama can also come in the meaning of i'tidal, to be balanced. Istaqama lahu al-amr ay i'tadala. It comes in the meaning of i'tidal. Now, out of the many names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the names of Allah is Al-Qayyum. Allahu la ilaha illa hu, Al-Hay, and then Al-Qayyum. So what does that mean, Al-Qayyum? Allama Khattabi rahmatullahi alayhi says, Al-Qayyum, Al-Qa'im, Al-Da'im, Bila Zawal. Al-Qayyum means the one who is present and will be there for eternity, and there is no coming of an end to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he also says, وَيُقَالُ, it is also said, while understanding what Al-Qayyum actually means, هُوَ الْقَيِّمْ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ بِالرِّعَايَةِ لَهُ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Qayyum because not that he's in need of being straight or being upright, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes that responsibility for all of the creation. Allah takes the responsibility of looking over the affairs of all of the human beings, making sure everyone's life is upright and it's on track. Everyone's life is still running, they're still moving forward. Allah is taking care of the affairs of all of the worlds that exist. Those that we know of, those that we don't know of. Allah takes care of the affairs while we are deep into our sleep and can't even hear someone crying in the next door to us. But Allah is aware of all of the thoughts that cross the minds of human beings. He is Al-Qayyum, Al-Hayy, Al-Qayyum. What does Al-Istiqama mean technically, istilahan? When we use the word Istiqama in Islam, what is its meaning? Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali says, Al-Istiqama, Al-Istiqamatu, hiya suluku sirat al-mustaqim. Al-Istiqama is to take the straight pathway. You know how we make that dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Ihdina al-sirat al-mustaqim. Oh Allah, keep us on the straight pathway. We read it in every prayer of ours. So Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali starts off by saying, it is to be on that straight path. وَهُوَ الدِّينُ الْقَوِيمُ مِنْ غَيْرِ تَعْوِيجِ عَنْهُ يُمْنَى وَلَا يُسْرَى. Not to deviate to the right and not to deviate to the left. Just being in the middle on that straight path. Think of the Qur'an and Sunnah as the borders of this pathway, the barriers that keep you from falling off. You know, when you're driving on the highway, there are the railings on the side to make sure even if you have an accident, you don't fall off. The Qur'an and Sunnah are the bars to keep you in track and keep you in the middle. He then says, Ibn Rajab continues on, he says, istiqama consists of doing good deeds externally and internally and staying away from all bad things. Externally and internally. Ibn al-Hajar al-Asqalani, a famous scholar of hadith, he writes in Fath al-Bari, Al-Istiqamatu kinayatun an al-tamassuk bi amri Allah fi'lan wa tarkan. Istiqama is to hold firmly to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in actions and in also leaving the things that Allah told us to stay away from. There is an ayah of the Quran in Surah Fussilat. Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. That ayah, this hadith is actually a reflection of that ayah. That ayah is saying, indeed those who said that we believe in Allah and then remained firm. Regarding them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gives glad tidings. And I'll come to those ayat in a few moments. Under the tafsir of this ayah, Allama Mawardi rahmatullahi alayhi, he writes in his tafsir that there are 5 very common interpretations given of the word istiqama. And these interpretations are actually very important to understand the different dynamics this plays. See, in Arabic, one of the other words we use for consistency is al-iltizam. Al-iltizam means to remain consistent, persistent, to keep doing something. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, ilzim so-and-so, stick to so-and-so. Lazima means to stick to something. That's why they say it's a lazim, it's mandatory, because you have to stick to it. So there's a difference between iltizam and istiqama. Iltizam is to stay consistent with doing something, whatever it is. For example, someone can be consistent with putting... someone can be consistent with having a protein shake every morning. That's iltizam. What is that? That's iltizam. You won't call that istiqama. Because Islamically, when we use the word istiqama, it has a spiritual nature to it. It's about not just consistency, but it's about consistency in something that's very meaningful in obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are you guys following that? So iltizam is consistency, think of it more of an aam, more general consistency. And istiqama is for you to be consistent in a very unique way. And that's why under the tafsir of this ayah, Allama Mawardi rahmatullahi alayhi says, istiqama has been defined in different ways. And I want to go through some of those ways. So you understand how the sahaba and tabi'een, how they understood this word in context. Ahaduha, the first opinion he says belongs to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, under the tafsir of this ayah of Surah Fussilat, ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا عَلَىٰ أَنَّ اللَّهَ رَبَّهُمْ وَحْدَهُ. That istiqama means to be firm in the belief of only one Allah, monotheism. When the Quran says, and when the hadith reminds us of istiqama, هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ, that comes in the Quran multiple times. All of those verses, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu is saying, this is hinting towards a path of monotheism, meaning this is something never compromise in your life. Always keep your belief in Allah one and keep that pure. The second opinion, Athani, belongs to Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, Hassan al-Basri, and also to Qatada. They say, istiqamu, to remain firm, ala ta'atihi wa ada'i fara'idihi. It means to be consistent when it comes to be particular, to be firm in obeying the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third belongs to Abu al-Aliya and As-Suddi. They say istiqama is in the meaning of sincerity in your religion and sincerity in your actions, wal-amalu ila al-maut, and doing good deeds until death. That's what istiqama means. You don't just do a good deed once and walk away, but you continue doing your good deeds until death. Number four, istiqama means internally being consistent with what you do externally. قُلْ أَمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ. Externally, verbally say you believe in Allah, and then hold that belief internally just as you said it. Don't waver in it at all. So from this perspective, istiqama is more internal, and your actions are external. Hassan al-Basri, when he would read this ayah, he would say, اللهم أنت ربنا فارزقنا الاستقامة. O Allah, you are our Lord. So grant us istiqamah. We all say ameen to that beautiful dua of his. There are many places in the Quran where the word istiqamah appears. I shared with you, for example, in Surah Al-Fatiha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. In Surah Yasin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ عَلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Hud, as we also made reference to earlier on, فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ وَمَنْ تَابَ مَعَكَ وَلَا تَطْغَوْ إِنَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah Fussilat, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ يُحَا إِلَيَّ أَنَّمَا إِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ فاستقيموا إليه واستغفروه وويل للمشركين. Then in that very same surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the ayah that I just mentioned in front of you right now. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ. Indeed, those who say that our Lord is Allah. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. And then they remain firm. تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Angels descend upon them. And the angels say, أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. Don't fear and don't grieve. وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَعَدُونَ. And take glad tidings of that paradise which you have been promised. نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاؤُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. We are your companions, friends, in the life of this world and also in the hereafter. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ. For you will be that which your hearts desire and what you claim, what you ask for. نُزُلًا مِّن غَفُورٍ رَحِيمٍ. This is a hosting and honoring from Al-Ghafoor Al-Rahim, from the forgiving and most merciful. Beautiful ayat of the Quran. Istiqamah is something very serious. We must take steadfastness and firmness in our life very seriously. Qatada says that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was commanded to be firm, this brought such sorrow to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hassan al-Basri also says, لَمَّا نَزَلَتْ هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ شَمَّرَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ فَمَا رُؤِيَ ضَاحِكًا. This brought such sorrow to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He took this so seriously that the Sahaba, they say, after that, we didn't see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam smiling and laughing like he normally would, because he was constantly concerned, constantly worried. One day the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw a group of companions and they were doing qahqaha. You know what qahqaha means? Not LOL. LOL caps. Like they were ha 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 like that. You have dhihk, tabassum, and qahqaha. Tabassum means to smile while showing your teeth. Dhihk is to smile, show your teeth, and make a little noise. Qahqaha is to laugh out loud. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw some sahaba, they were doing qahqaha, and he said, لو تعلمون ما أعلم لضحكتم قليلا ولبكيتم كثيرا. If you knew what I knew, if your concerns were the same concerns that I have, you would laugh little and cry more. Because there's so much that needs to be done, so much that needs to be accomplished. It's kind of like an older man who sees a young person spent giving like $1,000 a month to drive some fancy shamancy car. The older person says, only if you understood the responsibilities of life, you would bring that bill down from $1,000 to $150. Because all that money could be used for something more meaningful. But you're so young right now, you're so immature right now, you're bound to make these mistakes. Even if you tell that person don't do it, they're going to do it. What was this concern that was on the mind of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? That my ummah needs to remain steadfast now. It's not simply then saying that they believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but now they have to live up to it. They have to obey Allah internally, make sure their actions match, make sure the sincerity is there. So all the different elements of the definition of istiqamah we gave, they all have to be upheld. Simultaneously. There are many virtues of istiqamah. Shaykh al-Islam Allama ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala says, as his student Ibn al-Qayyim mentions in Madarij al-Salikin, Ibn Taymiyyah said, أَعْظَمُ الْكَرَامَ لُزُومُ الْإِسْتِقَامَةِ. The greatest miracle for a person is to be steadfast, to be firm. That's the greatest miracle. A person, when two friends were sitting together one day, and they started talking about their teachers. One of them said, my sheikh is so pious. The other one said, my sheikh is really pious too. The other one said, my sheikh is so pious that he flies in the air. What did he say? My sheikh is so pious that he flies in the air. The other guy said, well, my sheikh doesn't do that, which means he's probably not as hardcore as your sheikh is. So the next day he came to his teacher's gathering. When he was sitting there, his teacher asked him, why are you so sad? He said, Sheikh, last night we had a Sheikh fight out and we were all boasting about our Sheikhs. He told me his Sheikh flies in the air and I had no comeback because look at you, you never fly. So the Sheikh said, well, you have a point, I don't fly, that's true. But he said, can I tell you something that might cheer you up a little bit? He said, yes. He said, you've been with me for 10 years, true or false? That person said, true. He said, in 10 years, did you ever see me do one thing against the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Did you ever see me miss one prayer? Did you ever see me do anything that was makruh? Anything khilaf al-awla? Did I ever miss a mustahab? Did you ever see me do anything against the sunnah? He said, no, I never saw you do anything against the sunnah. He said, tomorrow night when you go and meet your friend, tell him what I tell you right now. Al-istiqamatu fawqa al-karama. Go and tell him steadfastness on the deen is greater than any miracle. And my teacher is steadfast on the deen. He's steadfast on following. He's punctual on the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Karama in Arabic is an honoring. Literally, if you translate the word karama, what does it mean? Honoring, like when a host honors someone, you call it karama. Out of honoring, he gave him something. It's a gift given. It's not something you're supposed to earn. Istiqama is something you have to earn, actually. It's something you actually have to do. That's why the scholars, they say, be from the people, kun sahib al-istiqama, wala talib al-karama. Be from the people who are steadfast in the deen. Don't be someone who searches for miracles. Don't search for miracles. He says, because your heart would really desire fi talab al-karama to find a miracle, while your Lord really wants you to be steadfast. So what's more important? To find a miracle in your life that your heart desires, or to be steadfast as your Lord desires of you? Obviously, you can deduce very easily that istiqamah and steadfastness, being firm, is much more important. You guys are probably wondering, what is all this steadfastness even about? This sounds like a very interesting characteristic, but how does it relate to me as a person? It does relate to you. You believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the masjid. But now when you go out of the masjid, do you remain a Muslim there or do you give up? It easily relates to you. I am a Muslim in the masjid, I'm a Muslim at home, but when I go to work and it's salah time, do I close the doors or do I go in the back room and pray or do I keep the doors open and skip my salah? Am I firm on my actions? Am I firm on my belief? I'm sitting in the plane, nobody's watching me, they're serving pork and wine, should I eat the pork and drink the wine? Nobody's watching me. Or do I remain firm on the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where I don't waver? I'm going to buy a home and the purchase has interest involved, but you know nobody's ever going to see your tax return. Nobody will ever know about what kind of transaction you have. Maybe your wife and kids are not even in tune with what kind of finances you have at home. You maybe keep that private to yourself. So it's a question now. Do you sell yourself out and compromise your principles, or do you remain firm? Do you hold on to istiqamah? These are the different dimensions of istiqamah. Istiqamah is something that relates to us very regularly in our life. And where istiqamah does have a spiritual, religious connotation, you will find istiqamah if you implement it in all elements of your life. Creating firmness in your identity. Believing firmness in who you are as a person. Being firm in your profession. Being firm in your commitments. That when you do something, you remain firm on it. If you're going to go to the gym, don't do a half-baked job. Go all out. Do Olympic lifting. Do heavy lifting. Whatever it is that you want to do. Just don't break your joints. A lot of this Olympic lifting is going to kill you. Don't do it, guys. It's not good for you. Some people get carried away. But, you know, find your boundaries and do your thing. But do it properly, remain firm, and be consistent in what you do. One scholar, he said, Al-istiqamatu khayrun min alfi karama. That steadfastness is greater than 1,000 miracles. Being steadfast in the deen, it's greater than 1,000 miracles. And that's when he said, وَمِنْ أَجْلِ ذَٰلِكَ أَنْكَرَ الْعُلَمَاءَ الْكَرَامَةَ مِنْ غَيْرِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِينَ. That's why the scholars, when they see someone showing a miracle who isn't steadfast in their religion, they say that's magic. That's magic, or that's a shaitani affair that has nothing to do with being honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Karama is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's not from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because karamat are only given to those who have istiqamah. Like Maryam alayhi salam, like Zakaria alayhi salam, like Ayyub alayhi salam. These people were given karamat, they were given miracles, mu'jizat. With Maryam alayhi salam, it's a karama, for the others are mu'jiza. Terminology, just semantics here. When a miracle occurs at the hand of a prophet, you call it mu'jiza, because it has a purpose, i'jaz, to prove the wrong to be wrong. But when a miracle manifests itself at the hands of other than a prophet, then it's called, it could be given different names. And when it occurs at the hands of a pious person, you call it a karama. Then istidraj, and then there are other sihr, and these are different categories. You can read them later on. One of the scholars, he said, that when a person becomes steadfast and becomes firm on their principles, And anything you do, again, I want you to really keep it broad. I'm not talking about what to be firm on, because there are 100 things you could be firm on. You could be firm on attending this class. You can be consistent in particular and steadfast on entering, on studying at this class. You have Ramadan coming ahead. Don't give up on Ramadan. Keep pushing forward. Keep pushing forward. You can be steadfast there. Wherever this takes you, this discussion, let it take you there. The scholars, they say when a person builds steadfastness in him, أَوَّلُهُ الْكَرَامَةُ وَأَوْسَطُهُ السَّلَامَةُ وَآخِرُهُ الْجَنَّةُ. When a person becomes steadfast, you will see that Allah will honor you. And then you will see that you will be protected, as-salama, from the fire of hell, protected from temptation. وَآخِرُهُ الْجَنَّةُ. And ultimately, Allah will bless you and honor you with the great gift of Jannah. Abdullah bin Amr narrates that Mu'adh ibn Jabal was departing on a journey. Some scholars say this was a journey to Yemen. Others say it was just a journey, because the hadith says, أَرَادَ سَفَرًا. فَقَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَوْسِنِي. He said, O Messenger of Allah, advise me. The Prophet ﷺ said, أُعْبُدُ اللَّهِ وَلَا تُشْرِكْ بِهِ شَيْئًا. That believe in Allah and do not make any partners with Him. قَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ زِدْنِي. He said, O Messenger of Allah, advise me more. The Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا أَسَأْتَ فَأَحْسِنْ. When you do something bad, follow it up with a good deed. He said, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ زِدْنِي. O Messenger of Allah, give me more. The Prophet ﷺ said, إِسْتَقِمْ. Be firm, be steadfast, and make your character beautiful. There are different levels of istiqamah. The scholars, they say, if you're looking for steadfastness and firmness, consistency, then know that istiqamah, فَأَصْلُ الْإِسْتِقَامَةِ إِسْتِقَامَةُ الْقَلْبِ عَلَى التَّوْحِيدِ. Make your heart first and foremost firm in believing in one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't believe in anyone else other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one can change your taqdeer. No one can give you other than Allah. You can go to any grave in the world you want and ask that person to give you, that person can never give you. The only one who has the ability to give is Allah Azza wa Jal. Even if you were to go to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the great rank and honor that he has been given by Allah, but if you went to the Prophet of Allah and said, Oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, give me 10 more years of life to live, can the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam give you that? Yes or no? No, he can't. So make your tawheed first. Believe first in Allah. Someone comes and says that, you know, that my idol did this to you, or, you know, superstition did this to you, or this is your bad luck now. All these things, don't believe in any of it. What should you say? You believe in your superstition, I'm going to believe in my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided for me to be here, then alhamdulillah, I'll be here. I don't have a problem. I'm not going to waver in my belief. We see this in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Most of the times the odds were against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The enemies of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Makkah Mukarramah, they spoke out against him with the most vile words a human being could speak with. But every time they ganged up against him, he trusted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He had a reliance on Allah. He remained steadfast and firm. He held his ground. Think of steadfastness and istiqamah kind of like the defense line in football. You guys watch football? Right? When the play's in session, when the ball is in the hand of the quarterback, what is the defense line's responsibility? Istiqamah. Don't move. Now the opposition, are they going to come and tickle them? Yes or no? Are they going to tickle them? No, they're not going to tickle them. Are they going to tap them a little on their shoulder? Are they going to give them a little nudge? Haha. No. What are they going to do? If this person is 400 pounds, the person in front of him will also be 450 pounds. And when the ball is in the hand of the quarterback, he's not going to be nice to him. What is he going to do? He's going to try to hit him so hard, he'll try to break his hip. He'll try to see if he can break the guy's knee. He'll try to see if he can hit him in the head, maybe, you know, unethically, and give the guy a concussion. Because what's his goal? He has to break. Shaitan is just that. He's trying to break your defense line. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying what? Al-istiqamah. Stand firm. Add some weight in yourself. Don't be anorexic and thin in your iman. I'm not talking about physical thinness here. What am I talking about? Beef up your faith. Beef up your reflection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Become mustaqeem, strong. So that if someone comes and hits you, even if they were to take us, you know, have you ever seen these Shaolin monks? They have these YouTube videos where people stand in front of them and punch them in their face and nothing happens. Someone comes and hits them between the leg, that guy stands there like as if he's taking qailula or something. Someone comes and takes his hand and punches them in his abs. If a normal human being was punched like that, what would happen to us? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un would happen to us. Salatul janazah, qabr, kafan, dafan, these things would happen to us. These guys are eating, they're standing there and nothing's happening to them. They're just standing there like nothing. They found one of the strongest football players who had a very powerful punt. You know what a punt is? When they kick the ball. And they told him, instead of kicking the ball, hit this man between his legs. He stood there. And he didn't even flinch. He stood there like, mashallah. No problem at all. That's istighama right there. Bring it on. You can hit me as hard as you want. Hit me with a sledgehammer in my chest. And again, we're not talking about physical here. Now the analogy goes to spiritual. Bilal radiallahu anhu. That's istiqama right there. Sumayya radiallahu anha. That's istiqama right there. Khabab radiallahu anhu. Khubayb radiallahu anhu. This is istiqama. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That's istiqama. I know these analogies I use may be a little disturbing, but I want you to think of it beyond just a spiritual realm. The best way to understand something spiritually is to give a physical analogy to it. Give a bodily analogy. Give a jismi analogy. And if you give that analogy, then it's easier to understand the strength and the forbearance that's required. So it starts off with istiqamatul qalb. And when a person develops firmness in their heart, this will then give them exposure to ma'rifatullah, khashyatullah, ijlalullah, mahabatullah, mahabbatullah, raja'ullah, du'a ilallah, tawakkul alallah. All these other beautiful characteristics will then take birth. Believing in Allah, relying on Allah, coming to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fearing Allah, loving Allah. These are all beautiful things that will take birth once your heart becomes firm and steadfast. Then he says, once your heart is under control, now you will need to bring your limbs under control too. You will need to bring steadfastness in your limbs. فَإِنَّهُ تُرْجُمَانُ الْقَلْبِ وَالْمُعَبِّرُ عَنْهُ. Because your actions are translators of what your heart holds in it. You want to see what the heart is like? Look at that person's actions. And then when it comes to the limbs, the most important limb to give istiqama is, as the Prophet ﷺ tells us in one hadith, every morning all the limbs of the body, they speak to the tongue and they say, "Oh tongue, don't mess up today. Because if you do something bad today, oh tongue, we will all suffer." إِنْ إِسْتَقَمْتَ إِسْتَقَمْنَا وَإِنْ إِعْوَجَجْتَ إِعْوَجَجْنَا. And if you mess up today, we all mess up. If you do good today, we all do good. So the most important limb of the human being, the most important part of the human body to bring istiqama, firmness, submission to, is none other than the tongue itself. How does a person develop istiqama? How does a person develop istiqama? How do you build firmness and steadfastness in you? Sheikh Jamal Al-Badi, he writes in his commentary on Arba'een that in order for istiqamah to be something, it has to first start off with commitment, musharata. Commitment. You make a commitment that he or she will be steadfast in doing things the right way. That I will do this the right way. I'm not going to do it the wrong way. I'm going to make the right decision. I won't touch that drug again. Refraining. I will pray my tahajjud salah, engaging. So make a commitment first. This is the part that people are afraid of. Our generation is afraid of commitments. That's why people feel much more comfortable dating over marrying. Because dating, there's no commitment. Marriage, you have a commitment now. You have to make sure you follow through. There are responsibilities. You can't just walk out and say, "Hey, take care of the child, I'm gone. See ya." You can't do that. You have a responsibility. In Islam, even if the divorce occurs, the father is still responsible of financially remaining committed. Because commitment's a very important thing. You make a commitment, you follow through with it. The second thing he says is, after musharata, the second thing he says is mujahada. You have to struggle to fulfill your commitment. Fulfilling your commitments doesn't happen while you're sleeping. You don't get ripped and jacked up. You don't get strong. You don't get guns, referring to bulging biceps, by sleeping and eating popcorn. You get that through doing what? Exercise. You got to go to the gym. No pain, no ghain. It's a kid joke. No pain, no gain. You're not getting it. You're gonna have to put time into it. Mujahada. Then he says, after you put this effort in, now you need to constantly review your action. Constantly review, reflect over the past. Was I doing it right or not? This he calls muraqabah. Musharata, mujahada, muraqabah. And then the fourth thing he says, self-accounting. Asking yourself, what more can I do? How can I add more? Actually, no, that's number six. That's number five is adding more. Self-accounting is, after you've done the action, saying that, did I do it right or not? You know, what can I have done to make it even better? So muraqabah is more just reflecting over the action, and muhasabah is holding yourself accountable for any deficiencies that occurred in that action. And the fifth thing, he says, tahseen, this is striving to improve it. How can I do it even better? Going back to that working out analogy, how can I perfect my form a little more? Where can I tweak my diet a little more? What can I do a little here? What can I do a little there? How can I push myself to the next degree? So these are the five things that he says. In addition to that, one or two more points that I'll add for myself before I close off. Surround yourself with good people. Surround yourself with people that are steadfast, that are firm, that are committed. And you will find commitment in yourself. Because it's easier to do things when you have support from the people around you. The next thing, if you do fail, because remember this, people, they say, everyone opens up that gym membership on January the 1st. And then when they stop going to the gym 1 week later, or if they miss a day or two, then what do they say to themselves? Ah, forget it. They start a diet, the paleo, they go for 2-3 days, and then one day they see corn dogs, and they're like, oh, it looks so good. And they have processed food, which means their paleo diet just got flushed. So are you supposed to stop dieting, or what should you do? Say Bismillah and try again. Pick yourself up every time you fall down. Don't be afraid of starting again. You know, one thing interesting that I learned when I used to fight Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, there was this saying on the wall. Every time we'd come to the gym, we'd always see that saying. And I always reflected over it. That saying got me through so many years of fighting, just that one saying. And you know what it said? Because when I walked into Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, I thought, you know, going from a white belt to black belt will be something very easy. You go to Taekwondo, you can do it in 12 weeks. So I said, you know what? I'd like to see how quick I can do it. So I asked my instructor, I said, how long does it take to get black belt? This is while I was already fighting. I had fighted for a few months. He said, how long does it take to get a black belt? He says, on average, 10 to 11 years. I said, what? 10 to 11 years? You want me to pay tuition for 11 years? He said, well, the black belt is only a symbol. Skill is what you develop. And then he pointed at something at the wall that said something very beautiful. It said, black belts are white belts that don't give up. That's what it is. Who fail and they start again. They fail and they start again. You get submitted, you start again. You get choked, you start again. Someone pops your elbow out, you start again. You get a wrist injury, you start again. You just don't stop. You keep going at it again and again. And this reminds me of a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, where the Prophet ﷺ said, the one who reads the Qur'an fluently has a reward, but the one who reads it while making mistakes and struggling to read it, he gets double the reward. You guys know that narration? Why does that person get double the reward? First thing for reading, second for the struggle. The struggle that you get. So every time you fail, stand up again. Try again. You fail, try again. Don't let anyone say that you're not worthy of trying again. That's the people, that's the way they think. You need to believe in yourself, you can try again. And keep picking yourself up every time you fall down. What are some lessons that we can take back from this hadith? Some very brief lessons. The first thing that we learn from this hadith is that the greed, the hirs the Sahaba had on learning from the Prophet ﷺ. He has one moment and he asks a very beautiful question right off the bat. He wants to ask and learn from the Prophet ﷺ. The second thing we learn from this is, when you ask good questions. His question was so beautiful. Tell me something I can do that I'll be firm on, that I won't have to ask anyone else. He already made the commitment to the Prophet ﷺ. Whatever you tell me, I'm going to do it. So the Prophet ﷺ then gives him that advice that this man was thirsty for. Actually, there's one thing I didn't mention. I have to address this quickly. He said, O Messenger of Allah, tell me of something I should do that I will never ask anyone other than you. Why is he saying that? Was he really going to ask someone else about his religious affairs? Was that even permissible? To ask someone else about the deen while the Prophet ﷺ was around? You guys understand that? Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, in his commentary on Arba'in, he brings this issue up. He says, وَفِي هَذَا الْإِشْكَالُ وَهُوَ قَوْلُهُ لَا أَسْأَلُ عَنْهُ أَحَدًا غَيْرَكَ فَهَلْ يُمْكِنُ أَنْ يَسْأَلَ الصَّحَابَ أَحَدًا غَيْرَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ فِي أُمُورِ الدِّينِ Ibn Uthaymeen says that, is it even permissible for the companions to ask anyone an issue that relates to the deen other than the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? If it's not permissible, then why is he even making this statement? So then he says, فَالْجَوَابُ نَعَمْ It is permissible. It was permissible for the Sahaba to ask other than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as long as those others were more knowledgeable. And that's where the Qur'an says, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ Ask those who have knowledge, those who know, إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ If you don't know. We also learn from this hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had such beautiful, concise words. His words were so little, but they carried such a deep meaning within them. And the last point I want to bring, جَوَازُ الْفَتْوَى إِجْمَالًا That sometimes someone may ask you a question, your response can be tight, it doesn't have to be long-winded. You don't always have to give a 10-page response. Sometimes keep it short and sweet. If the answer can be crafted that way, but if you crafting the answer short and sweet means that you neglect the message, then obviously give more time to explaining the answer the way it should be explained. So we close off this class by reminding ourselves the importance of steadfastness. Unfortunately, the life of the average Muslim in our day and age is just scattered. We're all over the place. You look at the average MSA, high school, middle school, community activists, they know they want to do something, they don't know what to do though. You know, it's as if people are broken, they're just putting their hand a little here, or hand a little there, or hand a little here, trying to just eat from wherever they can. Create a structure, like Allama Tibi rahmatullahi alayhi did. Create a structure of your spirituality. Just give yourself goals that you want to accomplish. And accomplish them with steadfastness. Don't give up the moment someone raises their voice against you. If you believe in a cause, until today I am amazed. Every time I hear about black history in America, I'm amazed. Because I don't see myself having the steadfastness that generation had. Honestly, for those of you who haven't read Black History, I really encourage you to go and read it. It just isn't, my mind is lost for words. Generations of humans were housed with horses and donkeys and pigs. And it's not like this is a holiday gone wrong. This is your life. I just don't get it. My mind is lost. But then I tell myself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave those people a tremendous amount of istiqamah. It was istiqamah that Bilal radiallahu anhu showed many years ago and history recorded it. It was istiqamah that Salahuddin Ayyubi lived with many years ago and history recorded it. The greatest men in Muslim history, the greatest women in Muslim history, were people with istiqamah, who were firm. They did a little, but they did it right. You don't need to accomplish everything in the world, but do it right. Follow methodology. If you remember earlier on when I talked about the levels of istiqamah, we talked about istiqamah starting from the heart. That's where it starts. You have to fix yourself first. If you want to be involved in activism, if you want to do something, first go sit by a scholar. First go sit by a teacher and say, I need help. I want to do something, but I need rectification myself first. Because if my aqidah isn't right, if I'm not strong in my own belief, and I want to go and help the world with their belief, I'm going to come crumbling down. This is a reality. And if you don't believe this, trust me, it's a reality. I'm telling you again. That's why establishing yourself first, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِكُمْ نَارًا First save yourselves from the fire of hell. And then your family from the fire of hell. And then you go and work with the rest of mankind, but first figure out your own affairs. And istiqamah requires just that. For you to fix your own affairs in your life. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us from the people of istiqamah. And we close with a dua that Hassan al-Basri would make when he would read the ayah of the Qur'an. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا He would say, اللَّهُمَّ أَنْتَ رَبُّنَا فَارْزُقْنَا الْإِسْتِقَامَةِ O Allah, You are our Lord. So we ask you to shower our hearts with steadfastness and firmness and true istiqamah. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.